revelation of the fatherhood of God
is the energy of faith. Why? The father heart of God talks about love, and love is the energy of faith. How do we grow? He says we all with open face, not faces, open face, one lens, open face, beholding us in a mirror the glory of the Lord, we are changed, metamorphosed. That means the transformation is in beholding. So we must place premium on accurate revelation of God. What is the confession of the spirit of sonship? Abba, Father. That means the language of the spirit of sonship is Abba, Father.
Are you ready? Are you ready? Glory. Tonight I'll be teaching on the unshakable kingdom. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Are you ready? Let's go to Hebrews very quickly. Hebrews 12:28. KJV then message translation. We can end KJV then message translation. Hebrews 12. Thank you, Lord. Hebrews 12. Now, if you know anything about Glory Zone, the vehicle that transports the power is the word. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So get ready as you make contact with the power of God in the service. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Do we have them? Okay. He said, wherefore, we're receiving the kingdom which cannot be moved. Let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. Message translation very quickly. Very quickly. He said, do you see what we've got? An unshakable kingdom. And do you see how thankful we must be? Not only thankful, but brimming with worship. Deeply reverent before God. For God is not an indifferent bystander. Hallelujah. He said, do you see what we've got? An unshakable kingdom. You see, the immediate context of this verse is talking about the immutability of the gospel that we have received. I don't have time to get into that, okay? So I'll just pick it from there and continue. He was talking about the immutability of the new covenant, the immutability of the gospel that we have received. That means the unchanging nature of the gospel that we have received, the unchanging nature, how dependable the kingdom that we have received is. Are you with me? You see, there are many things in the world, many foods, okay, in form of ideas, ideologies, postulations, concepts that the world is throwing at us, okay, trying to make it look like the gospel is an alternative, trying to make it look like God is one of the other alternatives. Are you with me? But I tell you the truth, a line of those things have no foundation. They do not stand the test of time. From the beginning, you have to make up your mind to anchor your soul to what cannot be shaken. Remember in Hebrews chapter 6, when you read 13, Dan was talking about the Abrahamic covenant. He talked about the two immutable things. You remember that? He says, God made a promise to Abraham and to his seed. You see, he said, for men verily swear by the greater, and an oath for confirmation is to them an end of all strife. God willing also to show to the heirs of the promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath. For by two immutable things in which it is impossible for God to lie. He says, now, because of this hope, we that have fled for refuge can lay hold on the hope, right? He says, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast. What was he talking about? That God cut a covenant with Abraham. You see, God gave Abraham his word. There's something about the word of God. We call it the integrity of God's word. That means that God spoke is enough. All the throne of heaven is back of every word that God speaks. Because God is a monarch, as we're going to see very shortly. God is a monarch. He is the monarch of the universe. He doesn't speak and it doesn't come to pass. He doesn't return on his words. When he speaks, all of his throne is back of his words. But see, God went further to assure man, to assure Abraham, to assure you and I that look, his word is not joke. He came into man's context. he came into Abraham's context and called the covenant. Now, covenant was not new in all of the Chaldeans. It wasn't new. When there was argument between two people, they caught a covenant. You caught an animal, you walk in between, and you are simply saying, look, if I don't keep what I'm telling you, may I be like one of these animals. And that was what God was doing to Abraham. And the Bible says God did that to assure Abraham and his seed that, look, his word is unchanging. His word cannot be shaken. His word cannot be moved. This is what you must anchor your soul to. This gospel. This word from the Lord. Don't build on sand. Anchor your soul to the gospel. Are you here? Glory to God. Hallelujah. I mean, we see the life of our patriarchs defined by this trust. They are so being anchored in this word from God. Oh, hallelujah. I mean, I could go from story to story to story. You know them. You know them. I'm tempted to talk about Daniel. Okay, in a few seconds. Amen. How could Daniel tell the king, give us time? You know, there are portions of scriptures that get my attention every time I read them. I mean, Joseph was even better. Pharaoh told Joseph the dream and said, tell me the interpretation. But this man called Nebuchadnezzar, I said, no, I'm not a fool. You tell me the dream, you tell me the interpretation. And listen, all of the magicians, all of the astrologers, all of the witch doctors couldn't pass that test. And then here comes a Hebrew boy. Here comes a man of covenant. Here comes a man who has developed so much confidence in the word that God spoke to his forefathers, old covenant. He says, give us time. Give us time. To do what? To know your dream and to come with the interpretation. That kind of thing is worth your attention. That kind of thing is worth the anchorage of your soul. Are you here? So our hope is unshaken. Our hope is sure and steadfast. Glory to God. Now, your revelation of Christianity will determine the kind of experience you have in life. But more seriously, to determine the kind of impact that God can make through you, that God can make in your life and through you. This is very important. Your revelation of Christianity, your revelation of God. Many times people go for meetings or they go for church services and it's just a celebration of what God doesn't enjoy. Are you with me? I'm going somewhere tonight. And see, you see people spend the whole of their lives around those things. No wonder impact is not as strong as God intended. Because no man can experience God beyond the kind of revelation that he has. No man can make impact on the earth, in his family, in his city, in his sect, in his nation, in his generation, beyond the boundaries of the revelation of God that he has. You will notice that every time a man rises with accurate revelation of God, okay, in whatever measure, in a family, that family begins to see God as omnipotent. Every time a man or a woman rises in the city, in a sector, in a generation, with a revelation of God, that family, that city, that sector begins to see God as omnipotent. The children of Israel were in slavery until Moses showed up. Oh, he met Jehovah at the backside of the desert. And when he came, he didn't mince words. The whole of Egypt saw God as omnipotent. The whole of Israel saw God as omnipotent. The same thing with David. The same thing with Esther. Are you with me? The same thing with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You know why? On the earth, the first power system is revelation. That's the first power system. That's God's number one power system. That means, what can you see? I know Africa's background of superstition, okay, has been unconsciously brought into Christianity. A typical African comes for counseling and I tell him, well, you have a problem with your finances, with your marriage, okay, take these two books, take these 10 messages, go and listen to them and let's see. He feels you don't have power. He feels he can only get answers when you thunder and shout and he's rolling. Are you with me? When you tell him that, look, the first step to power is revelation, he can't understand it. But all through scripture, that is what happened. God unveils himself to people and they begin to walk in power. God unveils himself to people and they become wrapped with omnipotence. God unveils himself to people and their family, generation, city, sector begins to see God as omnipotent. So we must place premium on accurate revelation of God. I'm going somewhere tonight. We must place premium on accurate revelation of God. The glory of your life, the excellence of your life, oh, the level, the boundaries of impact is tied to this thing. We talk about the revelation of God. I'm talking about the revelation of Christianity, the revelation of Jesus Christ, the revelation of the kingdom. What are we dealing with? What is this about? We have not received the religion. We have not received some socially trending status. I'm a Christian, I'm born again. No, we have received a kingdom which cannot be shaken. And see, the more you grow in your understanding of this thing, the more you know that truly Christianity is about the kingdom. Christianity is about the kingdom. Are you with me? Christianity is about a king and his agenda, his purposes on the earth. Are you with me? Or putting it in a more challenging way, if you are truly growing, you will see that Christianity is about the kingdom. It's about the king who seeks to establish his influence on the earth, first in the heart of men and in every sphere of human endeavor. Are you with me? I've spoken this year here and there about properly dimensioning Christ. You can go and get the messages. Okay, I've spoken here and there or through the year about properly dimensioning Christ. And this is important. As a believer, I tell people Christ is not just for believers, it's for man. The Bible is not just for Christians, it's for man. So this message is for every human who can hear me. You have to understand what is Christianity? What is God up to on the earth? Who is Christ? Glory to God. To see Christ properly is to understand Christianity and this kingdom. To see Christ is to understand you. Christ is not the head of Christian religion. Listen, the revelation of Jesus Christ is the heart of the Christian faith. I'm still in foundation. The revelation of Jesus Christ is the core of the unshakable kingdom. Are you with me? Any believer who is not seeing Christ revealed in the page of scripture is not growing. I've been saying this for years. Any church that is not dimensioning Christ properly and he's not seeing the Christ revealed in the scriptures and of course in their heart, that church is not growing. Are you with me? They may speak deep languages, quote and unquote. We may use words like bless you, dimensions, portals. Are you with me? Levels, call them. You may learn the language. If Christ is not seen, growth is not being attained. How do we grow? He says we all with open face, not faces, open face, one lens, open face, beholding us in a mirror, the glory of the Lord, we are changed, metamorphosed. That means the transformation is in beholding. You can't behold what you don't know. Are you with me? It doesn't happen. So you see people, years are passing. When the vicissitudes of life come, when the basic things that come to test people's growth come, you see them falling short. For example, are you aware that your love walk is a manifestation of your spiritual growth? I call it the first indicator of your spiritual growth. And then you see people who have been around church for many years, they don't know how to deal with envy, bitterness, jealousy, unforgiveness. Why? They never saw Christ. They never saw Christ. Are you with me? They never saw Christ in the pages of scriptures. Christ is the central theme of scripture. We'll see that again and again. He's the substance that the shadow of the law foretold. He is the prophecy that the prophets prophesied. He was the song in the mouth of the psalmist. Are you with me? Quickly, give me John chapter 5 verse 39. Quickly, John 5 39. I'm laying foundation. Listen, without this, you are not growing. You know what the Lord began to tell me this year? He says, if you don't get down, I did a teaching this year on commitment to sound doctrine. Some of you listen to it. And God told me, if you don't get back to these basics, we went to Acts chapter 2, verse 42. He says that continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. Then we began to dissect what is the apostles' doctrine. Was it fables? If he says the apostles' doctrine, that means there were other doctrines. But the Bible called it the apostles' doctrine. Reading further in the epistles, you called it the doctrine. Definite article. The doctrine. That means sound doctrine is not subjective. That means as far as sound doctrine is concerned, there's no such thing as this, what this denomination believes. This is what we believe. No, it's not subjective. If you get into the Bible and say, the Bible explains itself. If you get into the Bible, it shows you. Look at what Paul told Timothy. He said, giving diligence. King James says, study to show yourself approved unto God. A workman that needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing. The Greek word is orthotomio. To cut with a surgical precision. A surgeon will tell you that there is a place to cut. If you don't cut it that way, you can't locate the organ. That means there's a way to cut the word. You didn't hear that. There's a way to cut the word. There's a way. Are you here? Rightly divided. Accurately divided. And it's there in scripture. Have you put over scripture? He says, search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. The other which has found me. Do you have message TPT? TPT, are you blessed already? Meruka fenokosa. Liba kopa. The unshakable kingdom. Hindaba. What dimension in Christ? The unshakable kingdom. Message translation. Beautiful. He said, you have your heads in your Bibles constantly because you think you will find eternal life there, but you miss the forest for the trees. These scriptures are all about me. Listen, it takes Jesus to talk like that. All about me. Let me give it to you in TPT, the Passion Translation. He says, you are busy analyzing the scriptures, frantically poring over them in hopes of gaining eternal life. Everything you read points to me. That's some audacity. That means if you have not found Jesus in what you have reading, you have not read the scriptures. That's what he's saying. Are you with me? In Luke chapter 22, verse 44 to 47, remember the story of the disciples on the way to Emmaus. I'm trying to rush this foundation. Okay, for us to actually calm down. Are you here? Jesus met the two disciples. Oh, God Almighty. Are you here? Jesus met these disciples on the way to Emmaus. And then they're complaining. Look, our master, the Messiah that was taught to save Israel, has been killed. And some strange fellow have come and said he's been raised. And Jesus was walking with them. And Jesus told them, you dull of heart. You dull of heart. 25 to 27. That's the reference. Are you here? So you can follow. He said, don't you know that Christ, are you with me? Luke 24. 25 to 27. Then he said unto them, O fools and slow of heart, to believe all the prophets have spoken. Next verse. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter his glory? Next verse. Now, this chapter's a typical... Sorry, I'm attacking African superstitious background. But it's good sometimes. This shatters everything. He says, I'm beginning at Moses and all the prophets, not so. He expounded unto them all in all scriptures the things concerning himself. Hold on. Jesus was standing there with them. In a typical African man, what mind, what do you think he should have done? I am he. Look at my hand. See the nails. See the nails. This scripture shows you that you must exalt the world above experiences. And anywhere you see experiences being exalted above the world, run away. people run away. Run away. What they are saying, is it in the Bible? Does it exalt the Christos? Or is it some display of some hunger for the supernatural? If it doesn't, is prone to error. Listen, anything that is not built around Christ is subject to the manipulation of the God of this world. He says, it is a good thing for the heart to be established in grace. He says, so that you are not moved by diverse doctrine. Hebrews chapter 13, right? By diverse doctrines. Verse 7 or so. So instead of Jesus doing that, he says, beginning at Moses and all of scriptures. Don't worry. Fine. Beginning at Moses and all of scriptures, he expounded to them the things concerning himself. That means all of scripture and the prophets were about him. They were about him. You see the same thing in verse 44-47. Are you here? Are you here? There are other things you can see from the Bible. But if you don't see Christ, you don't know God. And you'll never know the essence of Christianity. Are you with me? So Christ is our perfect doctrine. You have heard me say this again and again. Christ is our perfect doctrine. And for us, our theology is Christology. That is our theology. Are you with me? That means we don't know God outside of Christ. To know Christ is to know God. Christ is the university of God. Are you with me? In these last days, listen, give me Hebrews chapter 1:1-3. Hebrews chapter 1-3. Christ, if you know Christ, you have known God. No man has seen the Father except the Son who is in the bosom of the Father. That's what Jesus said. He says, God who has sundry times and in diverse manners speak in time past unto the fathers by the prophet. What is he saying? God at different times giving parties of revelation. Here and there, like different parts of a puzzle, spoke to our fathers by the prophet, has in these last days spoken unto us by his Son. That means the revelation of Jesus is the voice of God to us now. He has spoken to us by his Son, whom he had appointed heir of all things, by whom all things, by whom he made the world. Verse 3. Let me get TPT ready to read for you. Are you getting something already? Glory to God. So that you know what to major in. So that you don't waste your time. Verse 3. Who being the brightness of his glory, the express image of his person, upholding all things by the word of his power. When he had by himself poured our sins, sat down at the right hand of majesty on high. Let me read it from TBT. Oh, glory to God. Are you ready for it? He said, throughout our history, God has spoken to our ancestors by his prophets in many different ways. The revelation he gave them was only a fragment at a time, building one truth upon another. But to us living in these last days, God now speaks to us openly in the language of his Son, the appointed heir of everything. For through him God created the panorama of all things in all times. Verse 3. This is where it gets serious. He said, the Son is the dazzling radiance of his splendor, the exact expression of God's true nature, his mirror image. His mirror image. Are you here? You see why we must properly dimension Christ to understand the kingdom? His mirror image. His mirror image. His icon, the Greek word icon. Image, replica, stamp. Are you here? Glory to God. Express image, exact expression of God's true nature. Thank you, Lord Jesus. So to see Jesus is to understand the essence of Christianity. Okay, let me put it this way. See Jesus as revealed in scriptures is to see God. To see Jesus is to understand the essence of Christianity. To see Jesus is to understand what revival means. There are many people shouting revival. They don't know what revival means. You didn't hear me. I'm saying that with all humility. There are many people shouting revival. According to the scriptures, they don't understand what revival means. When you mention revival to some people, it's about people shaking inside building. For some, it's about the explosion of mystical knowledge. To others, all kinds of things. But what is true revival? I've told you before. True revival is the explosion of the knowledge of the glory of the Lord, covering the earth as the waters covers the sea. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 verse 6 shows us the location of God's glory. He said, God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness has shined in our heart to give what? The light of the knowledge of the glory of God. Where is the location? On the face of Jesus. The Greek word is prosopon, in appearance, in all wealth. So that face is talking about in the revelation of Jesus. That's what he's saying. That's what he's saying. That means revival is not just about casting out devils. No. That is a consequence of something. It's a consequence of the knowledge of the glory of the Lord covering the earth as the waters covers the sea. That is the location of God's glory. That is the location of God's glory. The light of the knowledge of God's glory is in the revelation of Jesus. So let's go further. Can we go deeper? Can we go deeper? So when you study the scriptures, what does Jesus manifest, okay, to us? What are the cardinal revelation, okay, of Jesus Christ according to the scripture? That's the question you should ask yourself. What are the cardinal revelation? What are the outstanding revelation? What do we see about Jesus? Yes, he came as the expression of the Father's love. Here you have it. First thing is the revelation of God as Father. The second thing is the revelation of king, of monarchy, the revelation of the Messiah as governmental and political. Follow me. In Matthew chapter 1 verse 1, you can put it up. In Matthew chapter 1 verse 1, when Matthew was giving the genealogy of Jesus, amazingly, he highlighted two people. And now, not just in Matthew, you will see that all through scriptures, especially in the New Testament. Of all, Solomon in all his wealth was in the genealogy of Jesus. But Matthew picked two people and called and attached Jesus Christ to them. He says, the book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Are you with me? The son of David, the son of Abraham. That is not coincidence. These two people represent these two dimensions. You will read in the New Testament that everywhere David was mentioned, almost everywhere, he was referred to as the king. And everywhere Abraham was mentioned, he was referred to as father. Are you with me? That means the two cardinal revelation, are you ready for this? Jesus brought is number one, the revelation of the fatherhood of God. And number two, the revelation of the monarchy, the kingdom of God that seeks to dominate the earth. Are you with me? The first layer is that fatherhood. I mean, the scriptures are there. You can see in the same Matthew chapter 1 verse 6, he referred to David as the king. Matthew chapter 1 verse 35, he refers to David as the king. Acts 13:22, Abraham is called father in Luke chapter 1:75. Luke 16:24, John 8:56, Acts 2. I mean, the scriptures are there. You can go on and read them. Are you here? So there were prophetic type of these two things that we're going to sit on. Hopefully tonight. If we don't exhaust this, we'll continue another day. So the first layer, that revelation of God as Abba, God as Father. Ah, God as Father. He said, this is the generation of Jesus, the son of David, and the son of Abraham. If you go to Romans 4, you see that again. He said, what is it that Abraham, our father, has found? Then you read down, it talks about the revelation of David. Are you here? So fatherhood is the first layer. That God is your father. Higher. That God, because of his father heart, made provision for man's redemption. That God, because of his father heart, presented a perfect sacrifice for man's redemption. Are you with me? This is the crux of redemption now. This is the fundamental revelation. The fatherhood of God. Are you aware that this was a major revelation that Jesus manifested in his earth walk? He called him Father. He made him known as Father. They were not used to him as Father, but Jesus made him known as Father. Everywhere, listen, it was in his conversation. And that's something I want to bring your attention to tonight. Jesus said it everywhere. I and my Father are one. He says, my Father is greater than all. All that my Father has are mine. Then in John chapter 14 verse 10, he says, the Father that dwells in me, he does the works. He says, this revelation of fatherhood is the secret of my miracle life. God is your Father. He can never abandon you on the way. Oh, God is your Father. He has given you the gift of forgiveness. He has given you the gift of forgiveness of sin. Ephesians. You see, when we mention forgiveness of sin, it's not talking about covering sin. No. Ephesians means to separate the sinner from his sin. It means to break the influence and the impact of sin. Our time will not permit me tonight to get into that. But just believe me that in him we have forgiveness of sin. That is the expression of that fatherhood. Listen, this is a fundamental understanding in the Christian faith. The forgiveness of sin. The gift of righteousness. The gift of righteousness. Romans 5:17. He said, if by one man's offense death reigned, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one Jesus Christ. You see, when the writer of Hebrew was speaking in Hebrews 5, he connected skillfulness to the word, the doctrine of righteousness. How many of you notice? He said, he that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness. That means understanding of righteousness impacts to you is skill for reigning. It's part of the skill set required for dominion on the earth. Oh, understanding forgiveness of sin and righteousness. And be careful with people who make light of this fundamental revelation of the Christian faith. Be careful. Be careful. You can't make light of what God is big on. Do you know how much time Paul spent in talking about the forgiveness of sin and righteousness? You can't make light of it. That is the expression of the fatherhood of God. This is why you must be healed if you are sick. Are you with me? This is why you prosper. Are you with me? Oh, this is why you approach God with confidence. Listen, the revelation of the fatherhood of God is the energy of faith. Oh, you didn't get that. It is the energy of faith. Why? The father heart of love talks of God talks about love. And love is the energy of faith. It's a faith which worketh, energized by love. The love there is not talking about your love or primarily. That is important. We'll get to that. It's a second part of the equation. The primary revelation there is your understanding of the Father's love. From Genesis, it's been God who has been chasing. In the Garden of Eden, when Adam lost it, who went after who? Was it Adam that went after God? Oh God, I have sinned. Caught animal, cover me with the skin. No, it was God. He was God. He was God. The story of the prodigal son. Who ran? God has been running after men since. He says, for God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing against them their trespasses and sin. Oh, are you with me? This is the gospel we will take to the nations. This is the gospel for the nations. He says, it's there. Are you with me? Listen, the more I told you earlier about Jesus, he was always talking about his Father. He says, all that the Father has are mine. I and my Father are one. He says, my Father is greater than all. You two should talk. You two should talk. Oh, confess his fatherhood. Hey, are you with me? Talk. 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 Be like Jesus. Talk about your association with him.
I and my Father are one. And let's see how sickness will stay in your body. All that the Father hath and mine. Let's see how you will be poor. Are you with me tonight? You say, listen, God's blessings are picture sized and voice activated. Voice activated. Jesus said it all the time. I showed you guys in church some weeks ago. You know what? You know, he came, oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. Oh, hallelujah. You know, when the angel was talking about the resurrection, you know what he said? He said, he's risen as he has said. He's risen as he has said. He kept saying it until he was raised from the dead. The strength of sonship is in the revelation of the fatherhood of God. You know, there are people in attempt to preach apostolic message about sons that do like his muzzle. Say, sons have to rise. The foundation, go and study the ministry of Jesus, of sonship rising is this revelation of the fatherhood. Because no son can rise until he has seen the father. Check the ministry of Jesus. He says, didn't you read from Romans chapter 8? You know what Romans says? He said, the spirit of adoption, that's the spirit of sonship within us. What is the confession of the spirit of sonship? Abba, Father. That means the language of the spirit of sonship is Abba, Father. It's Abba, Father. Oh, there's a dimension of heaven's resources you deploy with this revelation of the fatherhood of God. God is my father. I can't fail. And you know something? The more you say it, the more you train your heart to honor him. Oh. You train your heart to honor him. He's not muscle. He's not human strength. Oh, you are looking at him. Yeah, what did Jesus say? He said, my father that dwells in me, he does the works. That means I'm not the one doing this work. My father that dwells in me, his consciousness was his father. His consciousness was his father. Are you here? How's his consciousness? This is a revelation that will raise true sons. The sons who see their father. Are you here? Why are we going to take over the world? Abba. 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 We are his son of adoption. Oh, let me not even get into that. Let me tell you something. You see, son of adoption doesn't mean go and adopt from adoption home. No, that's a Western construct. You see, if you read the Bible with Western construct, you miss many things. You miss many things. This is why we'll talk about cultural context in biblical exegesis, right? Cultural context. What are they talking about first? What are they talking about? So you don't mix it up with American thinking, amen? Or African thinking. Glory to God. I'm excited tonight. Why? Listen. Why can we stand before devils and tell them to go out? Tonight, in a moment of time, the bombs will start dropping. Amen. Meleke bayaga. You will see like film trick. Tonight, if not tonight, tomorrow is night of impartations and miracles. Why? Why can we stand before cancer and say, cancer, you are cursed? Because we see the Father at work within us. We see the Father. Never let it and pressure you. You have a Father who will never leave you nor forsake you. Are you with me? He says, I will not leave you helpless. John 14:18. I will not leave you comfortless. The Greek word is orphanos. I will not leave you as orphans. You are not helpless. He says, I will come to you. Oh, and he came in the person of the Holy Spirit. Are you here? Hallelujah. He came. We are not helpless. We are not helpless. We are not helpless. This is why you can look at the city or the sector. I want to take here and take it. And you take it. You take it. You take it. You know what John said? He said, the wind blows where it listeth. You can't tell where it's going from. Listen, Christianity is not, oh Lord, What are you going to do now? Will you help me, Lord? No, sir. No, ma'am. The wind blows where it listeth. When you understand this thing, back to what I was saying before I pause. You know who the son of adoption is? A son of adoption is the son who has been raised and brought into the office of running his father's estate. They automatically, in under grace, were sons of adoption. Hope you know. In the Bible, God has many sons. Angels were called his sons. Oh, you didn't know? They were called his sons. Israel was called his sons. He's the father of all spirits. But among all these sons, his firstborn son, his son of adoption is a church. That means the church is the one with the legislative ability to stand on God's behalf. Are you here? Son of adoption means when you go out and you say, ah, why is this guy suffering? They say he lost his job. He said, he lost his job. Give him 10 million. Let him start his job. Listen, when you go back, your father will not say, ah, you did not consult me before you gave him 10 million. No. Because he believes that he has raised you to a point. Ah. Where you understand his will, his purposes. Are you with me? You can stand on his behalf. You can stand on his behalf. Sit. You can stand on his behalf. The fatherhood of God. I'm just giving you rushed versions. The fatherhood of God. So you know it's God's way to take cities and nations. It's God's way to heal the sick. You're not looking asking, Lord, do you want to heal this person? No. You do it. Are you here? You're not asking this. See, what to be doing is complaining. And it's going to take me to the second revelation of Christ as King. We'll enter there shortly. Complaining. Okay. This. You think they'll just hand over power to you? You see, the fashion industry has been polluted. Entertainment industry has been polluted. All these things, they are looking corrupt people for people to watch. The world is coming to an end very soon. It's not Christianity you are practicing, no. It's called escapism. It's escapism. As a son of adoption, you will rise. You look at the city and say, we will take you. You look at the sector and say, we will reculture you. We will reculture you. We will reculture you with the civilization of heaven. We will. Are you with me? You look at your family and you say, this family, poverty cannot continue. I bring prosperity to you. Hallelujah. Are you with me today? Let's see Jesus as King. Let's see Jesus as King. Write this down. Your revelation of Jesus is not complete until you see him as a governmental Messiah, a potentate, a political Messiah. Write it down. He's not complete. That's the second layer of our revelation of Jesus Christ. We see him as Father. I don't have time to have gone into types and shadows of these two things I'm talking about. But that Matthew 1:1 that I gave you should suffice doctrinally so that you don't argue. Are you here? So your revelation of Jesus is not complete until you see him as potentate. Until you see him as a political Messiah. As a governmental Messiah. Now, this is the revelation that will usher in the literal coming of the King. Are you with me? And this is why Satan fights this revelation with everything he has. Listen, by now you know that Satan has two major strategies in fighting truth. Number one, he sponsors ignorance. And number two, if he knows that, look, this knowledge has come out. What it does is to sponsor scandals around the truth. Why do you think there's so much noise about tithing and prosperity of the believer? He's sponsoring scandal. So that, well, You know, when there's scandal about the truth, people are careful. People say, well, I don't want to. This is controversial. Have you heard people say that? This is a controversial stuff. Thank God for our generation. There was a time that speaking in tongues was in the same category. In my grandfather's church, we were told that speaking in tongues was evil spirit. But you see, somebody is blasting it us. But listen, listen. I'm trying to show you a truth. Are you getting the point? That what he does is, if he cannot stop the truth from coming, he sponsors scandal to make people uncomfortable. Uncomfortable. When you say Jesus wants to take the political arena, somebody say, politics is dirty. This politics that they are killing people, they are bribing people. You want Jesus? No. What did Satan do? He has sponsored scandal. So you are now uncomfortable. If I'm told there was a guy who used to be in church, he wanted to come up for political office, and somebody told him, well, as a believer, you don't do this, you don't saw your conscience. I say, what is he talking about? Are you with me? But how did we get there? Satan sponsored scandals until you're uncomfortable with it. Are you here? Are you still here? Because he knows that this is the gospel that will finally root him out. It will root him out. Are you here? All right. So the law, the prophets, the Psalms did not just give us a picture of the lamb slain to deliver man from sin alone. They also gave us the picture of a political, governmental, potentate Messiah. I don't have much time tonight. I'm going somewhere with this. You see there. Psalm 22 verse 28, the Messianic Psalm. In the middle of that, in fact, Bible scholars believe that Jesus quoted Psalm 22 from the beginning to the end on the cross. Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani? My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Okay, from verse 1. In the middle of that, verse 28 says, for the kingdom is the Lord's, and he is the governor among the nations. Isaiah 9, 6 to 7. It's unto us a child is born. To us a son is given. The government shall be upon his shoulder. His name shall be called what? Wonderful. Now, he started by saying the government, the rulership, that's political, shall be upon his shoulder. He is called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Now, give me the last verse. Verse 7. Of the increase of his religion, of the increase of his government and peace, that's shalom, there shall be no end, upon the throne of David, upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment, with justice from henceforth, even forevermore. They say that is the ministry of the Spirit. Listen, what they're saying is the Holy Ghost came on the day of Pentecost to establish Jesus as king on the earth. First in the heart of men, then in every sphere. He says the seal of the Lord of hosts will perform it. He will perform it. Are you here? You perform it. Paul in Romans chapter 15 verse 12 was quoting Isaiah's prophecy, Isaiah 11:10. Okay, but I love the way Paul put it. And I love the way TPT puts it. King James says, and again Isaiah said, there shall be a root of Jesse, and he shall rise to reign over the Gentiles. In him shall the Gentile trust. You know what TPT says? He says, the heir to David's throne will emerge. He says, an heir to David's throne will emerge. He will rise up as ruler over the non-Jewish nations. For all their hopes will be met in him. We will get into this tomorrow evening. All their hopes will be met in him. So you are dealing with a governmental Messiah, and this will help you dimension the church properly. That means if you don't see the church as a governmental entity, your vision is blurred. Are you with me? Your vision is blurred. Very important. Your vision is blurred. You think Jesus, God sent his son to die for some folks inside church building? You know, Jesus gave
a prototype, a parable concerning his work on it, concerning the kingdom. You know, he says, he said, the kingdom of God is like unto a man who found a treasure in the field. He went and sold everything he had. What did he buy? The treasure? He bought the whole field. He bought the whole field. Oh, he didn't get that. The treasure is the church. The whole field is the whole world. Ah, that means what was paid is for the whole field, not just the treasure. And our assignment is to increase the size of the treasure. Oh. By mining the field. Oh. It's called soul winning. It's called soul winning. Are you here? Are you here tonight? So it is in the DNA of the church to lead through civilization on the earth. Give me Ephesians 1, 20 to 23. Are you here? Ephesians 1. It's in the DNA of the church. And listen, don't let Satan lie to you. Jesus and the gospel and the church have always been a blessing to the human race. And I'm talking beyond the forward church. Go and check your history. Are you with me? The church of Jesus Christ has never been a nuisance to the world. Don't let Satan deceive you. Don't listen to the world trying to establish a false narrative. This, what I'm telling you, is a historical fact that the church has always been a blessing to the world. The church has always been a solution center. Oh, for the world. The church has always been the answer. Go and check history. Is it a biblical fact? Is it a historical fact? What do you think John chapter 1 verse 4 was saying? He said, in him was life, and the life is the light, the civilization of man. The civilization. Are you aware that the foundation of what we call modern science was laid by men in church or men associated with church? Are you aware that the foundation of what we know as social works today was laid by the church? Read about Salvation Army. Read about Williams Booth and all of that. I mean, some of the discoveries will amaze you. What they call the age of Minor and all that today was set by church folks. Because there was a time. You see, Satan drives the world. You need to understand that. Don't you think they will have moral standard by themselves without the agency of the church? It's not possible. Are you with me? So don't follow what they are suggesting. We were never a nuisance. We've always been a plus to human existence. Always. 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 Are you here? In fact, what we call the work ethic philosophy that ran the Industrial Revolution that spread across Europe and America came forth from the Protestant Reformation. Go and read it. It came forth from the Protestant Reformation. Let me prove it to you by putting it side by side. Are you aware that till now, the top richest countries in Europe were countries that led the Protestant Reformation? Germany. The GDP of Germany currently is like $3.9 trillion. UK, like $3.6 trillion. That's more than Africa's GDP. Are you with me? France is the third. Germany and England were in the forefront of Protestant Reformation. It is not coincidence that almost 600 years later, the effect of the light is still shining in the socio-economic landscape. It's not coincidence. That was John 1 for playing out. In him was life and the light. That means the moment the word was made available, it invaded human civilization. Compare them to other European nations who stayed with Rome. He's there. Are you with me? So you are dealing with a governmental messiah. That means your Christian faith. Listen. He doesn't want to be locked up just in your heart or in the four walls of the church. No, no, he wants to be in the government house. Oh, are you with me? He wants to be in the skyscrapers. Are you with me? He wants to be in the institutional campuses. Are you with me? He wants to be in the marketplaces of life. He wants to be there. Ephesians 1, 20, 23. Message translation. We'll pray shortly. We'll pray shortly. We'll pray shortly. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Kai, Meru Kapeto Soshoto. Onde Kapra. Oh, a new generation of the church is rising. Oh, We are rising with fire in our eyes. We are rising beyond these personal concerns. We are rising to shape culture. We are rising to make Jesus famous. Oh, are you with me? We are taking him to places. Making him known. Making him the Lord of the hearts of men. Listen, you know, God is very strategic. Read your Bible very well. God is very, very, very strategic. In Matthew 12, 41 and 42, Jesus gives two examples that are a reflection of how God intends to spread his love and to spread his kingdom in the end time. Okay? Those are two prophetic types of how it's going to happen. When you check from Genesis Revelation, he's right there. He said the men of Nineveh will rise against in judgment against his generation. Why? He said Jonah preached to them. So Jonah preached to the whole city and they responded. That's one. The second is in the next verse. He was talking about the queen of the south rising against. Now, the question is, did Solomon preach to the queen of the south? How was she compelled to come? Kings shall come to the brightness of your rising. It wasn't road evangelism. Are you with me? That means in this end time, beyond meetings like this, beyond crusades, men will begin to rise in the church, in the order of Solomon, that without talking, they will compel the coming of the kings of the earth to inquire of their God. I wish somebody got that. I wish somebody got that. He's right there. It's not just Jonah preaching to multitudes. No. Solomon too preached. And in fact, the point is the kind of soul he won was different. Has ripple effect. Ripple effect. Listen, be big. Be big. Don't be a mediocre. Are you with me? Don't be a mediocre. Don't be a mediocre. Don't be a mediocre. Your greatness has great bearing on the earth for the kingdom of God. Don't be a mediocre. The queen of the south did not get to know the God of Israel by roadside evangelism. When you went on the street, did you meet the governor there when you were sharing tracts? No. Did you meet the CEO of Apple there when you were sharing tracts? No. That means there are places you have to rise to. Am I talking to someone tonight? This is where this service will finish. Something will land on somebody's head. Listen, have you noticed that in the book of Acts of the Apostles, you hear 3,000 saved, nobody's name was mentioned. Masses, 5,000 saved, nobody's name was mentioned. But Mekapatelekopa, when it came to important people, listen, no, agree with the word, don't fight with it. Have you noticed? Have you noticed? Beginning with the Ethiopian eunuch, Acts chapter 8. What kind of person was a minister of finance for the Queen Candace? His salvation was recorded. Detailed. They gave you story. Acts chapter 9. Paul, a PhD holder, a popular man in the land. His salvation was recorded. Acts chapter 10. Cornelius, are you with me? A centurion. His salvation story was written. Can I go further? Sergio Populus. Sergio Paulus, you know Sergio Paulus in Acts 13, he was the deputy governor of the country. His salvation story was written. It's to show you that God is very strategic. He's very strategic. You see the people that lifted and told their story because their salvation had bearing on others. They had bearing on others. They had bearing on others. Are you with me? Oh, we are rising in power. We are rising in his name. We are rising in his glory. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Lift your hands up toward heaven. This is where you get to receive everything that comes. Now speak in tongues where you are. Speak in tongues. Speak in tongues. Hondalika. Steli lalonzo shtef robokotosia Pinda loborosisha Mentoborokonda sushtepana Pinda lokombrektosista Inamana kondiska Jelina kondosiste poranile kosa Pinda lokopetosista. I can't hear you. Pray in the Holy Ghost. Oh, pray in the Holy Ghost. Pray in the Holy Ghost. Pray in the Holy Ghost.
Pray in the Holy Ghost. Pray in the Holy Ghost. Indala barokososha. Endolo kaprebe kabosa. Emjela kaprebe kabososhata. Inamakoposhata. Endolo prebe kaposa. Lika patosile kopredile kosa. Indelo prebe kososhataloba. Inemero kapatosile kopa. Ila koposa. God is setting your hand over the seas. He's establishing your feet upon the mountains. In the name of the Lord Jesus, pray. Pray, pray, pray. Pray, 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 pray. Ila bukapetosa. Ila kombredoskiba. I'm seeing the Lord strengthening your hands. I'm seeing the Lord strengthening your feet. In the name of Jesus. I'm seeing the Lord putting his hand strong and mighty upon you. In the name of Jesus. Meloko predila kosila. Shemila no kosilaka. Entole bronda kapatosa. What are your heart desires in this service? Put them before you. Put them before you. Put them before you. Put them before you. Oh, you are more than this. You are more than this. You are more than this. Your experiences, your past doesn't define you. No. Christ defines you. And in him you have a father. In him the king expresses himself through you. Yola baba baba babus. Eya ramana go benola da bayedosa. Hinda baranu gebusina nosa. Can the fire burn? Can the fire burn? This is why the devil cannot stop you. No, he can't. He can't. In that revelation of kingship, we have authority. We have authority over all devils. We have authority over all hell. We have authority. Mekopoto sila kopa. Jenila kombra dosika. Intevero kopoto. Ikapeno kopoto siya kopa. Ile mero kopoto. Intepero no kopoto siya. Shebedele kopa. Intepere no kosa. Indele kopoto siya. Inamala kopoto siya kopata. Injelika pronda kapatosa. Indelo kopa. Ile kombetos ile kopa. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You are going to pray some more, but let me supply you with an understanding. The glory of the Lord is here, and the power of God is upon me for your benefit. Amen. He's upon me for your benefit. He's upon me for your benefit. I quoted a scripture for you at the beginning of this service. Paul told Timothy, he said, well, take personal responsibility. On your way, you know that verse 15 is very, very interesting. Appear to all. Hallelujah. Your profiting will appear to all. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So telling him how that prophet will appear to all. You know what he told him? Verse 14, he said, neglect not what was given to you by prophecy and the laying on of hands of elders. The laying on of hands of elders. That means things, transactions happen through this utterance. And tonight something will rest upon people. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Listen, everything, maybe let me just say this. You see, sometimes before we move into the fullness of these things, there is warfare. There are limitations that are cleared off. So when you hear us pray like that, it's not because you don't believe in new creation realities. Are you with me? It's not because you don't believe in new creation realities. It has nothing to do with that. It's about handling what is before you. Are you here? Are you here? So tonight, you see,
A Christian cannot be possessed by devils, but a Christian can come under demonic influence. I can't give you scriptures now. A Christian can come under demonic influence. So when the fire of God will be burning in the next couple of minutes, they open your heart and receive. Let God do his work. Don't resist God. Let God do his work. For some of you, demons will jump out of that house. Oh, they'll jump out. You see, it's not because you are not a believer, but sometimes there are energy levels. Listen, there are different energy levels. When you come from meetings like this, prayers have been prayed. Power has been made available. What to do is to jump in. Lay hold on what has been made available. Are you with me? So if there's any immediate thing you need, you will receive. So there'll be impartations, there'll be healings, there'll be breaking of demonic circles. Are you with me? Cycles. Okay. Things that happen you repeatedly. There are those when they sleep in the night, somebody will come and sleep with them, and then things will scatter. The power of God will come upon you in this service. It will come upon you as you begin to pray. It will come upon you. So there'll be multiplied things, different things will be happening. Maybe you have a symptom when you came. The fire of God will burn it. All in demonstration of his fatherhood and his authority as monarch. Rise to your feet. Ina koperuka. In the next 2 minutes, you will pray. Okay? You pray out loud. You pray out loud. Then the rest will continue from there. Open your mouth and pray. Liga prendo kapetosa. Oh, Father, we thank you. Father, we thank you. Father, we thank you. Father, we thank you. Lord, move in our midst. 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 Ela marama nagasone nene kabana na na na. Just pray. Just pray. Just pray. Let the power of God come upon you. Let the hand of the Lord touch you. Your heart desires are granted. Your heart desires are granted. Your heart desires are granted. Hinda kapa. Your expectations are exceeded. Your expectations are exceeded. La copotosi la copredi da bosa. Em jala caprandos. Em jala capranda capos. Em jala capranda capos. Thank you, Lord. Come on, keep on praying, keep on praying. Wonderful, marvelous are the works of your hands. Great is your name. Oh, wonderful, marvelous are the works of your hands. Great is your name. Wonderful, wonderful. Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful.
keep praying. There are 21 people here. 21. Exactly 21. I'm seeing the power. I'm seeing the propelling power of the Spirit. I'm seeing the propelling power of the Spirit break you into a new season. 21 people. 21 people. Elamako, the propelling power of the Spirit. Ilakopa. Ilabo is breaking you out. He's breaking you out. Hindrances are removed. You are rising to a new level. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Let the power of God come upon those 21 people now. As I stretch my hands, ushers, you will bring them out. 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 It's a propulsion forward. A propulsion. A propulsion. Like something got a hold of you and moving you in the direction of God's perfect will. In the name of Jesus, let the power of God come upon them. At the count of seven, all over the building, outside, on the internet, let the fire of the Spirit rest upon those people, propelling them. Leko, 1, 2, 3, 4. Mikapatosile kobredile kosapa. Jemetonda kapatosa. Inda kopetola bile konda. Pina 7. Melon koprediga ponda susta. Inde borobo kosabaya. Jeliga bronda kopotosia naka. Lentopa from the front of the pack. Let the glory of the Lord overshadow them. Help her. Bring her forth. Bring them all forward. The power of God will come upon them one after the other. For some of you, as the power rests upon you, it will hit your house. It will hit the whole family. It will hit the whole family. Shepetola, rekopato. Let it rest. Let it rest. Let it rest. 21 people. Let it rest. Let it rest. Sakiba. Nelo no go bono lo go doga bas. Oh, that's the first wave. Ilamato, bring them out. Those under the power, they can barely stand, they're falling. Bring them forward. Bring them forward. Let me lay hands on them. Liga poraba, a new season. A new season. A new season. The Lord is breaking you out that He may break you in. He's breaking barriers. Those things you have tried to do by yourself, and it's as though it has not worked. I come by the power of the highest. I come by the power of the highest. I come by the power of the highest. Mekepatolikapa. They are broken. Imakopatoligabo. There's a young man at the back. The power of God is coming upon you. Ila, in the last 2-3 years, you have felt limited. The power of God is coming upon you. As I talk, bring them to the front. Don't keep them by the side. Bring them here. Centrally, there's space here. Close to me here. Bring them. The power of God is coming upon you. Sepetola banakaya. Selina kobotoliantosa. Likapetola balaton zilaka. Shepetola. Liba. Every devil doing IT in your house, doing IT in your business, doing IT in your marriage, IT in your finances, in the name of Jesus Christ, I eject them. Makopatas. Oh, let the power of impartation come upon you. I'm not laying hands, so let the power, let the overwhelming glory of God come upon you as I talk. Leko pati leko to the back. Let the power sweep through this place. Let it change your story. Let it shift your destiny. Let it break the limitations. Let it lift you. Let it propel you forward. I break limitations. Ila kopetosi la konna katana. Sepalasa. Salika. Melokomaneko Zalila lonto sila kobala. Ah, Imeto, bring it forward. Ikama, let it rest on them. Like fire, let it burn from their head to their toes. Jalila, te patone kepa. Zalikapa, repatone kepa. You come face to face with the power of God tonight. Ina koma loko sila konda kapata. Jalila non kosina kaya. Delita penokosa. Zalika brenda kopatos. Ina mama tonda. Oh, let it come upon them. When they get to 21, let me know. Let it come upon them. Let it come upon them. Everybody lift your hand. Lift your hands. Lift your hands. Lift your hands. Sabelondo sika. Likatonda sustapa. Emjalika. The Bible says, and Samuel anointed Saul with the jar of oil and said, is it not because the Lord has anointed you to be captain over his inheritance? Lift your hands. Liba kapa. The anointing for leadership, the anointing for expansion, the anointing for increase, multiplication is resting upon people right now. Upon everyone, lift your head. Some will be more drastic than others. Lift your hands. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, let that power rest on you, right where you are. Let that glory rest on you, right where you are. Let that ability of the Spirit rest on you, right where you are. Inamakondo sikapata. Let it rest, let it rest, let it rest. Let it come upon you. Let it come upon you. Let it come upon you. In the name of Jesus, you have prevailed.